welcome to your free therapy session. My name is Violet.
And my name is Halle. This is Therapy Hour.
Because everybody needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam peoples.
I've got a little question to pose.
Oh, do you now?
I do. What came first, the child or the parent?
Oh, the age-old question, yes, of course.
And the world may never know, really. This week, we'll be talking about all things parenting. You know, everyone grew up with different types of parents, and I find it fascinating to talk to more and more people about the different ways that they were parented growing up, because I think it's just so expansive. Like, some people will talk to me and be like, yeah, no, my parents didn't care. I got to do all these different things. Whereas, like, other people are like, I couldn't leave the house until I was 17 and a half years old.
Yeah, and I think it's also something that maybe you don't necessarily question so much when you're the child, but then you kind of grow up and you start talking to people about what their experience with parenting is and realizing that not everyone has the same, you know, style of parenting.
No, definitely not.
And like being able to be maybe more critical of it as you grow up.
Yeah.
Yeah. This episode in particular was really inspired by this trend, maybe you could say, on TikTok of people talking about their parenting styles, and particularly gentle parenting, which is a very interesting side of TikTok that I've come across for some reason, even though I do not have children and don't really plan to have children anytime soon. But nonetheless, I was happy that my algorithm fed it to me because I thought it was very interesting. And it actually made me really hopeful that this type of parenting is becoming popularized, at least online.
Yeah, of course. Oh. I thought we were going to play with that. But I will say that I also started getting these videos, and it was very interesting because I was kind of like hesitant to interact with that type of media.
Why?
Just because, like, I feel the classic parents putting their children on social media is just super exploitative. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that comes across a lot in like the YouTube families.
Totally.
And I get really nervous for those kids growing up. And this is just a funny thing I came across the other day, that there was this old TLC show that was like Kate plus 8 or something. John and Kate plus 8, where they had octublets or something. Like, a lot of kids.
Yeah.
And now they're all 18. But there was like this whole reality show about them.
Right.
And I like literally put it in my notes, like, go and look into this.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always really resistant to like seeing stuff on TikTok about parents. But then coming across more and more content about gentle parenting, it felt very much centering the act of gentle parenting, not as much like, let me shove a phone in this kid's face right now.
Totally. I agree. I think generally, you know, online presence for children who, it's very questionable how much they can really consent to that. Like, I follow some people online who share photos of their baby as a, like, when they're a baby, and then when they get to around the age of one, they stop showing their face online because they want to give them that privacy, and I really respect that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think that these social media apps, and particularly TikTok, make it really easy for parents to be able to share information online about how they parent. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of advice being given and how to apply these tips to specific situations.
Yeah.
And a lot of parents who talk about, you know, your child is throwing a tantrum, that's so exhausting. I mean, I watch those videos sometimes. I'm like, oh my God, how do you deal with this? But then they like give you real applicable tips on how to, you know, help them process their emotions and help yourself kind of calm down. And, you know, like, I think that that's a really great way of sharing that information. and using this platform to do it.
Yeah, and the lady that we're going to be listening to in a little bit, LoreLove5514, she actually did a big video as well that was talking about like how she asks her children to be a part of her TikToks, which I thought was really lovely. And she talks a lot about how, like, you know, if Carter, which is one of her kids, she's like, if Carter doesn't want to do this thing that we've been, you know, gaining a lot of popularity on, like, they do a lot of like scenarios and like acting, and she makes it very fun for them, but she's like, if he wakes up and doesn't want to do it, I'm not going to force him to do it.
Right.
And like, I think for her, a big part of gentle parenting, and I think also she practices Montessori, is like seeing your children as, you know, capable human beings and able to make those decisions. And I think so often when it comes to like other ways of showing your children on social media or just like interacting with your children, it's so much of like taking away autonomy from them, because it's like, you're a kid, you don't actually know what you're doing.
Right.
Whereas like with this style of parenting, it sounds like, or at least what I've observed, is like, oh, your child can make active decisions if you show them like what you can, what is provided to them. Like, do you want to like do this, or do you want to do this? And like, let's talk about, you know, why you're upset in this certain situation. Yeah. And like, let's figure out what we're going to do together. It's very like collaborative with the child, which is so cool.
And a lot of like, one of my favorite things that I've seen in gentle parenting is that, you know, if your kid does something quote unquote bad, as the parent, you know, instead of looking at that and being like, oh, this is so frustrating for me, you know, I'm so upset that this child did this, you know, kind of centering the child more so and saying, you know, maybe this kid did this because they're trying to send me a message, especially a young child.
Yes.
You know, they maybe don't have the words or, you know, the intelligence or whatever at that time to speak directly to you and communicate their needs.
Yeah.
But through this action, they are communicating some kind of need.
Yes.
And then it's on you to kind of figure out what that need is and then properly address it.
Yeah. I mean, even as an adult, I barely know how to like express my needs sometimes. Yeah. So to think about being a child, and like so often when I've heard about gentle parenting, I find that people see it as very like taboo. Mm-hmm. Like it's supposed to be very much like, ooh, we're gonna just like give all this attention to your kid and like you're not gonna have any autonomy. And I feel like growing up, I always learned that like you are not friends with your kid, your kid's not friends with you. You are in a relationship of like a parent who is the like dominant person in this relationship, and then you have a child who like listens to that parent.
Yeah.
Whereas like now when I've seen how gentle parenting works, is like, they're not like, I don't think those parents are trying to like befriend their children. I think they want to have a good relationship with them, and also like structure their lives to prepare them for, you know, really what being an adult is, which I think, again, so important when I look at like how these parents do it, where they're like, you felt this today, like let's figure out how we're gonna, you know, fix this problem that you're having. And they're doing, it's just like treating your child with respect.
Exactly. And I've heard a lot of people use gentle parenting and respectful parenting interchangeably.
Yeah.
It's actually interesting that you said this little joke of like, I can barely communicate my needs now. And it's funny, but also like, I think that that's what gentle parenting is like, I want to raise this child into an adult that knows how to express their needs in a healthy way, feels comfortable doing that, knows how to process their emotions. Like, it's just this really intentional thing of like, I am raising a human being.
Yeah.
How do I want that human being to exist and like, you know, go into adulthood as a person?
And also taking responsibility for the fact that you are the parent. Like,
I,
when we were doing prep for this episode, I was just like going through the gentle parenting tag on TikTok, and like one of these moms had said like, gentle parenting is not for you as the parent. Like, you have that, you've had this child, and they're gonna drive you crazy. Like, there are times where I want to just like shut myself in a room and I don't want to be around these kids, but I am their parent. This is my responsibility. And the reason I respond in these ways is to help my child. It's not to help me.
Yeah. And just to circle back again to what you were saying about it being taboo and a lot of people looking down on it, I think a big part of that is because they think it's like gentle equals like too soft, you know,
right.
And like there's no discipline. But we found a really great video from that user that we spoke about before, Laura Love, where she explains how consequences work in gentle parenting. So we thought it'd be great to have a little listen to that. And we'll be right back to give our thoughts.
This is common misconception with gentle or respectful parenting that there is no discipline or consequences. The reason for this is because most of us were raised with heavy consequences, which often gave immediate results and change in behavior. We have this idea that if there isn't instant gratification or immediate results, that it isn't effective. Traditional parenting is usually fear-based, which means that the child stops a behavior out of fear, but most times the child isn't learning the lesson that you think they are. In gentle or respectful parenting, there are consequences and discipline, but we don't use fear as a way to control a child. Instead, we use natural or related consequences and focus on the reason for the behavior and how to help a child regulate emotions. Sometimes this means that the results aren't always instant. This is because we are focused on long term. We're focused on raising adults that will know how to regulate their own emotions and understand the consequences to their actions, but not out of fear, but because they genuinely know right from wrong. We're focused on raising kind and empathetic kids who don't seek validation from others to know their worth. So there are consequences, and even though it may look different from what you're used to, that doesn't mean that it's not effective.
What do you think about that?
I really love this creator mm-hmm. so much, and I think that she conceptualizes of her parenting so well.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what she says. The biggest thing for me is when she talks about like not getting instant results, because mm-hmm. that's a huge thing that she does. Like, she'll always show like videos of a few months ago and mm-hmm. then like how her children act like later on.
Yeah.
And like what she's talking about of getting this like immediate consequence and then you get this immediate switch in how mm-hmm. the child is behaving, because again, you know, we're going to get into a little bit later about how children develop and like what children are like when they are children, but they are constantly looking around and kind of getting feedback from the mm-hmm. people around them. So, you know, if they do something and they get gratification, they're going to continue doing that behavior. If they do something and they see that they didn't get something good out of it, they're going to try to immediately change because they don't have the tools yet to be like, well, this is how I like doing
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, really love that philosophy that she uses.
Yeah. And just, you know, I've been thinking a lot about fear recently.
Yeah.
And I like that she says in that video, you know, you may parent in a different way and get a similar looking result, but is that child doing that because they're really learning and absorbing and, you know, using these tools that you've given them
mm.
on how to regulate their emotions, how to communicate their needs, you know, whatever. Or are they like stopping again the like quote unquote bad behavior because they're afraid?
Yeah.
And what long-term consequences is that going to have for them in their life?
Absolutely.
And, you know, when you talk again and pointed out how she said, you know, sometimes that learning process may take a little bit longer than the fear-driven results. I really love on her page when she shows her two children interacting with each other.
Aww.
And you see, especially the older of the two siblings, using gentle parenting techniques on the younger sibling, you
yeah.
know, and that's just such a prime example of what's going on here. Like, you're setting an example of how this person will be going on and interacting with other people in their
exactly.
life.
It's amazing. I think that, you know, going back to what you were saying about like fear-based parenting, I think that classical parenting has always relied on the fact that your child is somewhat afraid of you. Like
mm-hmm.
you are the person that can dish out consequences. You are the person that can, you know, punish them, take away their things. And like the amount of people I know that have talked about, you know, like my phone got taken away
right.
or like I wasn't allowed to go see my friends anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And like you know, I wish that we could just like share all of this woman's podcast or all of her TikToks, but like another thing she talks a lot about is like related consequences. So it's
yeah.
not like she doesn't punish her kids for doing things. Like, they will like throw things on the ground, and like the one that we were trying to find the other day was like they got into her makeup and just like put it everywhere and it was all messy, whatever. And so she made them clean it up because that is a related consequence.
Mm-hmm.
But then they were also like, oh, you seem like you want to do some messy play. Like, let's go find something for you to do that with. And then she tells them, like, next time you want to do this, just tell me. Yeah. And, like, I think she gives them paints or something like that. And she's like, I'll get the paints and the paper out, and then you can do this.
Right, exactly.
And that makes so much more sense other than just telling your kid to, like, go in their room and be quiet.
Yeah. And, you know, when I was getting those punishments growing up, I really didn't question, like, maybe I would kind of think to myself, like, oh, it's so unfair that, like, now I don't get to have my phone or whatever. Yeah. But I wasn't really thinking, like, like, it doesn't really make sense that because I got a poor grade in this class, like, I don't get to have my phone now. Like, those two things don't really seem that related. Like, exactly. Maybe I should be getting a tutor or something, you know? But, like, again, that's why it's, like, kind of the parents' job to, like, step in and, like, assess the situation and see what makes the most amount of sense and not just kind of punish for the sake of punishment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We're going to take a little break. We are going to be playing, funnily enough, only our second Julia Jacklin song.
Even though think it'd be more.
Every time we sit down to figure out a song, Julia Jacklin gets brought up, I would say, 50% of the time. But this song is Don't Let the Kids Win by Julia Jacklin. And we'll be back with some research afterwards.
If that's the way you choose to play, don't let the kids win. Just let them fall. You don't want them growing up thinking, see, your roads are good at playing basketball. Don't let your grandmother die while you're away. A cheap trip to Thailand not gonna make up for never getting to say goodbye. And don't let your brother stop thinking you're cool. Yeah, I know he's got a girlfriend now and he's taller, but that don't mean he stopped looking up to you. And I've got a feeling that this won't ever change. We're gonna keep on getting older. It's gonna keep on feeling strange. Don't let your friends turn cold while you burn to green. When they walk off the stage, embrace them and say that's the best shit I've ever seen. And don't let your sister walk down the aisle without pulling her close, saying I love you. And it's okay if I don't see you for a while. And I've got a feeling that this won't ever change. We're gonna keep on getting older. It's gonna keep on feeling strange. And don't let the time go by without sitting your mother down and asking what life was like for her before you came to be around. And tell her it's okay if she puts herself first. Us kids will be alright if we're not the center of her universe. And I've got a feeling that this won't ever change. It's gonna keep on getting older. It's gonna keep on feeling strange. And after a late one, I don't know anything except the more I keep on talking, the less breath I got left to sing.
creating boundaries or asking for space is seen as complaining or seen as weak. And when it's external, it's one thing.
Like, sexual confidence is not a look. It's not a place you get to. It's really about like being like, I am giving myself permission to feel cute today.
Are you interested in conversations about the way that gender is understood in our everyday lives? Join the Gender Empowerment Collective every 4 weeks, where we tackle a range of topics that impact gender, race, and social justice, like sexism in the workplace, understanding microaggressions, and racism in the food industry.
Every episode, you'll hear from an expert on that week's topic, along with a discussion that dives deep into each complex issue. Tune into Intersections, presented by the Gender Empowerment Collective every fourth Tuesday. And check out our episode archive on CITR.ca.
There is a drinking water settlement for First Nations, and the claims process is now open. If you are a First Nations member impacted by a long-term drinking water advisory, you may be eligible for compensation. This is the first drop in recognizing those communities impacted. Submit your claim at firstnationsdrinkingwater.ca.
Yo, 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 we're back.
What was that?
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, yo.
Yo, yo, yo.
No, I only wanted two.
Oh, you wanted me to do it, the third one?
No, I just like to do it two yo-yos.
No, it has to be three.
Okay.
You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. We're talking about parenting styles. Before the break, we were discussing gentle parenting, but I understand that there are different categories of parenting styles.
Yeah, very, very many. There are
very many.
Very, very many. Yeah, I feel like doing this research for this week just brought up how expansive parenting styles are and like how many books there are, how many just like different theories and philosophies there are about like how to bring up your children. Mm-hmm. And I genuinely think there are like all these different ways of doing it because childhood development is so complex, but it is also happening so quickly. Because mm-hmm. like pretty much from when you're born, like around ages like 1 to 2, like your brain starts going so fast. And it's, you know, you're trying to like catch up and try to figure out, you know, at what stage should we be introducing this
right.
and that.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk a little bit at the beginning of this research section about just like theories of development, because it's a very, very highly debated topic in psychology.
Right.
The main issue about childhood development is that humans love categories. And we've talked about this on the podcast mm-hmm. before, where like humans want to just like put people in boxes.
Yeah.
And it's just like not how we work.
No.
So you have like the terrible twos, mm-hmm. the preteen stage, like, and then all of a sudden you're 18 and now legally you're an adult and you just get to,
or if you're Jewish it happens when you're 13.
Oh yes. There you go. Yeah. Already a difference.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of theories about when children start to develop like cognitively and emotionally and intellectually mm-hmm. and all that jazz. Definitely no time to get into any of them, so I'm not going to,
period.
But what I do want to say is that I have an issue with the theories of childhood development, and mm-hmm. I would love to hear your thoughts a little bit about this, because for me, I think that the issue surrounding childhood development is that you are like trying to reach this goal of adulthood,
mm-hmm.
and then the development for some reason just stops. Mm-hmm. Like you are building blocks from the, you know, age of 0 all the way until you like get to the age of like 18 or 20 or whatever, like mm-hmm. your brain fully stops growing or developing when you're like 25 or something mm-hmm. like that. And then it's supposed to be like you reach this peak and like now you're the adult, so you get to tell kids
right.
what to do.
Right.
And I just really don't like that concept.
Well, it is crazy growing up and realizing that the people who I thought had it all figured out really never did.
No, not in a million years.
And like that's why I think in talking about this topic today, I do want to be gentle to the parents as well, because I understand that it's a very difficult job.
Yeah.
That being said, I mean, if anyone listened to our attachment styles episode, we can also understand that, you know, you do need to be putting in this effort and going about this intentionally if you do have a child, because the way that these kids from a very young age are being treated go on to impact them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. And like some of the things that I have found interesting in my research, and just I've taken courses on childhood development, is like the main understanding is that by the age of 10, you have racial biases already. Mm. And that starts at the age of 6. Mm. So, you know, talking about like what types of schools you're putting your children in, what type of media they're consuming,
right,
that is starting at a very, very young age. And yeah, that's pretty like not contested. That's pretty like well understood just mm-hmm. on like a basic level in psychology. And then you have like your concepts of self, either that being like self-worth, your position in society, that starts at age 2.
Mm.
Like all these
wow.
things are happening all at the same time. However, another issue with this type of thinking in psychology is that it's not really talked about how when you're raised in different contexts, how these things may impact you differently. Like we talked a lot in one of my classes about how a black child in a predominantly white school is going to develop with very different ideas of self than if they were in a school that was predominantly mm-hmm. other black children, or yeah. even just like a racially diverse school.
Yeah.
And we like in psychology so often they kind of hone in on like, okay, so this is when this age, or like this age is when this development starts, and then like this is when it ends, and then like this is usually what happens. But they don't really take in like the social context of that very often. And again, I'm saying this mostly to kind of give like background to understanding parenting, because mm-hmm. when you are deciding to sit, or you know, when you are deciding to have a child, these things are important. I feel like it's important to understand like you are raising a child and they are going to develop very quickly, but then also you're raising them in a certain context. And mm-hmm. if you are a child of a privilege, or a parent of a privileged child, like it is your responsibility in a lot of ways to instill beliefs in them and expose them
right.
to things that if they were just sent out in like the regular social world, they may not be learning mm-hmm. on their own.
Yeah, this idea of being actively anti-racist rather than just, you know, kind of complacent, being like, oh, well, I'm not racist. But
yeah.
it's like, okay, but are you being actively anti-racist? And if you have children, like, that's a great way to be actively anti-racist and to be, you know, teaching your children what's correct.
Yeah. And, like, the last thing I just want to say is that whatever the development theories are, and, you know, there's going to be debates for a million years about, you know, what age people do things, is that children are developing really, really quickly, and they are sponges.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything that children are looking at, they are observing and they are copying. And
right.
like what we were talking about earlier today about gentle parenting, a child learns that their parent does not want, or, you know, they do something to their parent and then their parent comes back and gives them a negative consequence, they will immediately shift their behavior. And they are going to keep that in their brain as like, this is how I need to act, and mm-hmm. this is how I'm going to do these things. So it is extremely important, in my opinion, to be like so wary of how you are around your children.
Yeah, 100%. So how many types of parenting styles were you able to kind of find?
So the main theory that's out there right now is that there are 4 types of parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into a bit of the problematic concept behind these parenting styles a little
okay.
later on. But pretty much this theory has 4 types, which is authoritative, authoritarian, permissive, and uninvolved.
Okay.
And they are on different scales of how much support the child gets and how much demand a parent asks of their child.
Interesting.
So think about it like the parent giving a child like support to do certain things in their life, but as well as kind of initiating this power, or like, I guess demand was the best word for it, but just like initiating, like, this is what my expectation of you is, and
right.
this is how you're going to do it.
Like having a say in your child's life
exactly.
in a big way.
Yeah. yeah. And that also kind of, it's supposed to also encapsulate like consequences and punishment and
okay.
all that jazz. So Starting with authoritative. Authoritative is the most like sought out parenting style because it's both high support and high demand.
Okay.
So the idea is that your parent is, you know, punishing you, giving you consequences, but at the same time also like letting you go and be an individual in the world and teaching you how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then also giving you like emotional support and like giving you a support system in a lot of ways.
Okay.
And those children, you know, again, in this theory, tend to be very well behaved. They're very confident in themselves and they are very good at emotionally regulating themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They also go on in their lives to do very well in school. Mm. They succeed at being individuals and having confidence in their individual ability. And they also have a really good grasp on how to like manage their lives and achieve goals. Usually, again, because their parents have been involved and have given consequence when needed, but throughout that involvement have been kind of like pushing them of like, okay, but this is how you can be an adult. So you could, in a lot of ways, you can kind of group gentle parenting under this like authoritative type of parenting.
Interesting. I wouldn't, just from those words alone, I wouldn't really like think to group them together, but I do see the connection.
I guess the idea is that like you have authority over your children, but you also really want to give them like a clear path and like support them in that. And that's the only reason why I would kind of like take gentle parenting and put it under. But again, these categories are very broad and I wouldn't say they encapsulate everything.
Sure.
Okay. So the next one is authoritarian, which is not a good one, I must say. That one is low support but high demand, meaning that the parents that are authoritarian are like very, very strict parents, have lots of say in their children's lives, and those children have a lot of consequences, a lot of punishment. And, you know, very similarly to what we were hearing in the TikTok, these end up being the most well-behaved children, but it's also because they have learned that if they do not listen to certain rules, they will be punished.
Right. Fear-based.
Very fear-based. So the authors of this article were talking about how this type of parenting can either like result in somewhat like high aggression levels or can also manifest an extreme shyness, which I thought was interesting because the shyness comes out of like their very used to following instructions, so they're not really good at like going out on their own and doing things by themselves.
They don't have the self-confidence for that.
Right. They've been told what to do their entire life.
Right.
And then might just be sent off at a certain point where they're like, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do now.
Mm-hmm.
But then the aggression comes from the fact that they haven't been taught how to properly manage their emotions, and the type of emotions they've been seeing in their models have been probably highly aggressive, very angry, very mean, and something to be afraid of. So that one, yeah, that one's not great. None of the rest of these are fantastic,
okay.
I must say.
Okay, got it.
So permissive parenting is high support and low demand, which means that you give your child a lot of like emotional support and you want them to do things, but you don't really give them kind of like a pathway to do said thing. So these children end up being extremely impulsive, very demanding, and have a really bad lack of self-regulation. They have really good social skills, but they tend to not be able to like follow guidance, follow rules. They're not great at setting goals and reaching them just because they've been given as a young child with highly impulsive needs to just be told like, okay, well, do whatever you want.
Is it kind of like a coddling situation with this
a little
type
bit
of parenting?
Yeah, I would say it's somewhat coddling. Like it's not the fact that your parent isn't there. Like they are there and they are supportive, but almost like overly supportive of the things that you do.
Right.
So they're like, oh, you want to like go and watch TV and not do your homework? That's fine. Like,
yeah,
just
okay,
do it when
sweetie.
You want to do
it.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And then lastly, you have the uninvolved parent, which is low support, low demand, very self-explanatory. Usually these parents are like quite absent in the child's life. They haven't like been there to either support them in times of need, nor have they given them any structure. The main outcome from this type of parenting is that the child tends to be very resilient because mm-hmm. they've just been taught how to like fend for themselves. Mm-hmm. But they have a lot of troubles in emotionally regulating themselves because they haven't had any models to do mm-hmm. so. They don't cope very well with different issues in their lives, and they have a lot of difficulty with social relationships and maintaining close relationships in general.
That's so sad.
Yeah. So that's kind of the brief overview.
That's interesting. As you were going through those, I was kind of like,
which one am I?
Which one am I? And also, like, with some of those, I was definitely thinking about some people in my life who I can definitely, like, pinpoint under some of those parenting styles.
Well, yeah, and I think that kind of is the beauty of having these four parenting styles, because I do believe that they are, like, pretty expansive in some ways of, like, being able to have this umbrella term for, like, a type of parent and and especially what can happen when that type of parenting is happening to your child and what those outcomes are going to look like. And I feel like in a lot of ways they can be really accurate. Like, I remember learning this in class and doing the same thing of like, oh, like, this person has told me about what their life was like.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking that they,
yeah,
this is the reason why.
I see it. Yeah.
Yeah. But I did do a bit more digging. And there is a lot of issues with these parenting styles, obviously. They are umbrella terms. However, there was a study done by this researcher, Rodriguez, and all of her colleagues that they tried to look at these types of parenting styles within Latina parenting and found that the Latina parents just, like, do not fit these categories whatsoever.
Interesting.
And that in the article that they published about that, they were talking a lot about how we have kind of overlooked different types of situations that children might find themselves in, whether that is in, you know, different racial households, if they're a part of, like, immigrant families, or if they're first gen, if your parents are divorced and you have, like, two separate houses with two separate types of parents. Like, there's a million and one things you can look at. And that article was pretty much just saying, like, we actually haven't found a really good way to measure parenting. We've had this, like, stepping stone that kind of starts getting there, but it overlooks a lot of, like, cultural and racial aspects that can play into these things.
Yeah, I think that's definitely an important thing to acknowledge and something that we definitely try to acknowledge on Therapy Hour when we do present research, is kind of, you know, this research isn't perfect and it doesn't encapsulate everyone's experience perfectly.
No, definitely not. And I find that, like, for myself, I mean, I'm a child of divorce. I was raised in two separate households that had very different parenting styles. And so when I, like, look at these sometimes, I'm like, oh, I resonate with, like, this one, but I also resonate with this one. And, like, now I'm kind of, like, formulated in all of this.
Yeah.
Or I also just remember growing up where, specifically with my mom, that her parenting style kind of changed over time. Mm-hmm. And then I felt like we also then just, like, changed together, where I was like, oh, you used to be this way, but now you're like this, and now I feel like I'm kind of becoming a different person.
And that's an interesting facet of it as well. But I would think that it's probably, like, in your earlier days as a youngin, the parenting style in which your family has is probably the most influential at that time. But it,
absolutely.
You know, it's not to say that you can't keep working on it if you have, like, slightly older children, and if you want to make some changes, like, that does still, you know, say something and teach something to your kids.
Well, I also think about, like, parents that go through, you know, somewhat of, like, a traumatic event or just maybe, like, something upsetting for them in those, like, very early years. And so, like, they can have a personality shift, or they can have these things. And, like, again, I liked what you said earlier of, like, if there are any parents listening into our podcast right now, I feel like it is important to recognize that you are also a person, and you are also able to make those mistakes.
Yeah.
I don't think either of us have any place to say, like,
Parenting is easy.
Oh, yeah.
I could do it in my sleep.
Yeah, no, definitely not. But I do think it's just like one of these things that I think about so often. And honestly, a lot of the reason why I get very nervous about being a parent at some point in my life, because I'm like, all this is happening. And like, what if I make a mistake? What if I don't do the right thing? What if I like mess up on this part and then I just like ruin my child for the rest of their lives? And obviously, you can't predict any of those things. But I just think that this type of information is really easy. And also, like, I would hope that if anyone that is listening to this, that this can give you a little bit of clarity about, like, your own situation, or at least lead you into kind of thinking, like, oh, how were my parents and how did that play into how I was developing? And maybe this, like, problem I'm running into, I can kind of, like, trace it back to, like, oh, this is what I was learning as a kid. So how can I try to unlearn these aspects and, like, move forward in my life?
Yeah, one time for Christmas, I got my mom a parenting book because I worked at a used bookstore in high school, and there was this book that I had been eyeing for months, and nobody was buying it because it was like a self-help parenting book.
Right.
But the book was called something like, "So Your Teen Is Crazy Too."
Wait, I love that.
And like, it was definitely at this time where my mom and I were like clashing a lot. And she loved that gift.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I got my mom. This is actually, this is only slightly related, but I kind of just wanted to say it. I got my mom a little card that had a kid getting a tattoo of mom. Mm. And it was after I had told my mother about my tattoos, and she wasn't too stoked on it. But then when I gave it to her, she was like, "This is kind of funny."
Nice.
And I was like, "We've scored.
We've done something very good here." Sometimes it's nice to be a little tongue in cheek.
Yes.
Tongue in cheek. Cool. Well, are we good to go?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about how learning about different parenting styles has impacted our own thought process on possibly being parents in the future. Very fun and exciting. We'll be right back.
Join Rock Sensation's Me Without You as they bid farewell at the Hollywood Theater on May 18th. Visit hollywoodtheater.ca for more information.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
And we're back.
That's a good one.
You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. We're talking about parenting styles.
Yeehaw. Yeah. Holly and I, you know, we're both in our 20s.
Yep.
We're both pregnant.
I'm actually kidding. 35 and pregnant.
35! Since when? Happy birthday. We're delirious in the studio right now. We're both in our 20s. And, you know, I think for you, but definitely for me, like, I've definitely thought a little bit more realistically about being a parent sometime in the future. Not anytime terribly soon.
No.
But at some point. And doing this research for this episode and hearing about it and understanding the different approaches to parenting has really made me think about what kind of parent I will be and I want to be.
Yeah.
And the fact that there are these different paths to walk down, and kind of even just, you know, coming across this trend of gentle parenting and having that be really inspiring, but also knowing that that would be really difficult. I saw this one TikTok where this woman was addressing this thing that people were saying that gentle parenting was easy. And I was like, I don't really know who's saying that, because I feel like the easy thing to do is to like get upset, scream at your kids, you know, like not be thoughtful and intentional about it. The difficult thing is gentle parenting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I think that people think that gentle parenting is easy because there is just the idea of it being gentle of like, oh, you just sit and like coo at your kids, mm-hmm. right? Like that's probably easy.
Right.
But you know, I have thought long and hard, probably ever since I was like 16, honestly, about being a parent and like what that would mean, mm-hmm. and like getting really anxious about it, and then thinking like, okay, well, should I just like not have kids? Like, and then, you know, on top of the parenting, there's like the environmental issues and like what the world looks like. But I feel like I have always had this like really, really big fear that I'm going to do something and it's going to mess up my kid for the rest of their lives and it's going to be my fault. Mm. But I think that when I have started to think more about gentle parenting, but also just like parenting in general, and then doing a lot of like introspection on my life of like how I was parented and then what ended up coming of that, you know, I don't think anybody's upbringing is perfect. Mm-hmm. I think anyone and everyone can say like, I have these few memories and I remember it really affecting me, and like, mm-hmm. now I feel like this is the way that I am because of my parents. And honestly, that must be really difficult for a lot of parents to deal with.
Yeah.
However, I think that, you know, taking, you know, a little page out of gentle parenting is like, a lot of what your job is that as a parent is to prepare mm-hmm. your kid for being an adult, right. and making really tough decisions, and also being kind to yourself of saying like, I'm not always going to be perfect, and my child will probably have to grow up and deal with the things that I did. But hopefully I've at least given them the tools mm-hmm. to do that. And like, as someone who was not raised with gentle parenting, I feel like I turned out all right. Like, there
you
are
turned out great.
Thank you. I just feel like, you know, I get into these like mindsets sometimes where I'm like, mm-hmm. oh my God, what's gonna happen? But then I just realized that like, I didn't experience that growing yeah. up, and I had to deal with, you know, some issues growing up and like not being given all the support that mm-hmm. I could have gotten from my family or my parents. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And then I moved on, and now I'm able to like fix that on my own. And also mm-hmm. like, my mom and I to this day will like have conversations about growing up and like having really like productive things of being like, oh, this was the issue. Yeah. And like, you can't change that.
Right.
But let's try to like work on something else now.
Well, and something that I love within gentle parenting that I think, you know, again, any parents out there, you could really, maybe if you take anything from gentle parenting, consider this one. The fact that parents will go and apologize to their children.
Yeah.
Because I think that that's still something that a lot of parents are really uncomfortable with, and really kind of stubborn about. And, you know, especially when you have younger kids, that might be like weird or like confusing to them of like, why is my parent apologizing mm-hmm. to me? Or like, I don't even remember what this thing from yesterday was right. that they're apologizing about. But I feel like it sets such a good precedent of like, hey, like, I'm not perfect and mm-hmm. I do mess up. And I was getting really frustrated yesterday when whatever happened. And I owe you an apology now because I really wasn't showing up as my best self.
Yum.
And I think that sets a really good thing as well of like having these kids know, even my own parents, like I am owed an apology when they do mess up or they do lash out at me. And I think that that can serve a kid really well in the long run of, hey, you know, like I deserve certain treatment. And, yeah. and my parent has really taught me and shown me that.
Yeah. And I think that like along with just more things that gentle parenting can bring, and like it's so good about talking about how to regulate oneself and like talking about how if a child is feeling a certain way, being able to like look back, like having the child, you know, kind of introspect on themselves.
Mm.
Because I think that, you know, we've talked a lot about how classical parenting is just so reactive, and it's mm-hmm. very much like, you know, your kid dropped a plate and like now you've turned around and started screaming at your kid, even though your kid definitely didn't mean to do that. They weren't yeah. doing that. And if they were, like, that is a whole other separate issue.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think with this idea of like punishment, it's like, you did this bad thing, now you must be punished. Whereas with gentle parenting, there is punishment, but then also there's this like direction of like, okay, why did we do this? And like, I'm not going to scream at you, right. hopefully.
Right.
So now you can learn that when something in your life stresses you out, mm-hmm. you can like take a second and breathe and then figure out how we're going to fix this yeah. mess.
And like, why am I punishing you? You exactly. know, am I punishing you because you've been malicious with this and you've intentionally, you know, broken this plate to upset me?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm punishing you? Or am I punishing you because you need to kind of learn that this plate was expensive and, right. you know, we don't smash plates.
Right. Exactly.
I do really love the intentionality of gentle parenting. And yeah, I mean, obviously being a parent is exhausting, which is why it's really important to come into parenthood with a strong set of tools to deal with these difficult situations when they arise.
Yeah.
And you need to kind of have that set up before they arise, you
exactly.
know? And that's what I love seeing on gentle parenting and having these parents practicing this philosophy and giving these real applicable tips so that in the moment when your kid is smashing plates and having a tantrum and freaking out and you're so frustrated, you can be like goal oriented, you know, which is really hard to do when yeah. you're kind of at your wit's end.
Exactly.
Yeah. And just understanding with, you know, young children that their actions are not typically intentionally malicious. And if you are reacting poorly, if they are acting poorly, then there's probably a message that they're trying to communicate to you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so like slowing down, taking the time to understand what that child is trying to communicate to you, talking them through that, being like, are you doing this because you're really, you know, tired, or are you yeah. doing this because you're really, you know, frustrated that you didn't get to play with the toy, mm-hmm. and then kind of like working your way through, you know, how to fix that situation for them.
Yeah. And then, you know, we've talked a lot about how this time in a child's life is so important for them to learn further down the line, but then also, you know, I don't want to leave out the like teenagers and right. all that, Jess, because like both you and I have talked about how, you know, growing up, like I remember having a time where like my grades dropped and then my phone was taken away and my laptop was taken away and I wasn't allowed to go see any of my friends. And the reason of like why my grades were dropping was underlying like a whole separate set of issues.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of like taking the time always to like sit down and be like, what like, why did you do this? What's going on? Do you yeah. need a tutor? Is everything okay?
Yeah.
And I think that like having that set at a young age can follow you into teenagehood,
mm-hmm.
so that when things, you know, quite possibly are really going wrong for young teenagers, because that is like a whole other
separate time of life.
It's a terrible time. Anyone that's been a teenager knows like how difficult it is to yeah. like deal with all your hormones, deal with mm-hmm. like other teenagers,
yeah.
deal with like the world around you, and like kind of starting to edge into this yeah. adulthood. It's a really, really difficult aspect of your life,
mm-hmm.
and you would want to have the supportive person there to be like, okay, I understand that, like, you know, I don't know, you stayed out until like 3 a.m. last night,
mm-hmm.
and I am upset, but let's talk about why you yeah. went there. Is there something happening? Like,
yeah.
can we talk about this?
And maybe even on the parents' end, kind of communicating, like, I'm upset that you were out until 3 a.m. because it makes me worried for you. Like,
yeah.
sometimes bad things happen at 3 a.m., you know what
yeah.
I mean? So, like, having that mutual respect, communication, understanding between the parent and child.
Yeah, and I am honestly so excited for Laura Love's children to grow up and just have, like, and not to, okay, I don't mean it in the way that their lives are going to be perfect.
No.
However, like,
they will be some well-adjusted.
They will be very well-adjusted.
Humans.
Well, and exactly like what we were saying earlier, or at least what I was saying earlier, is like, you don't have to be friends with your kids. And I think some parents will take the idea of like wanting to be in on your kid's life so that you can talk them through things, take that as like, we should be friends, you should be telling me everything, like, uh-huh. I want to know everything. However, like with this type of parenting, it's like, I don't need to know everything, but if I can help mm-hmm. in some regard, which I think a lot of people can relate to the fact that as teenagers, it would be great to have like a parent there when, like, I don't know, someone's mean to you at school,
mm-hmm.
and you like want to go home and be like, this person's being mean to me and I don't know how to deal with it because
yeah.
I'm 13 and I don't know how to deal with things.
Yeah.
So it just feels like it can, I don't know, I'm just very excited for them. And I really hope she just keeps making TikToks because I will follow that woman for the rest of my life and just be like checking in on all of them.
Yeah, highly recommend checking out the account. I think it's really, it's so impressive and it's a great introduction to gentle parenting. There are a number of parents who have come across my For You page who are really great, but she definitely stands out.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's quite a few resources. And again, like, I don't know the breadth of the people that listen to our podcast, but if you are thinking about having children, I would highly recommend looking into gentle parenting. And I know that there's lots of books and whatnot, but I do think that having an online resource like TikTok can be really helpful, specifically for the fact that these parents will talk about very specific situations that are very relatable and very like applicable to like anybody's life. And like the fact that you and I as 23-year-olds are sitting here like, gentle parenting sounds like a good way to go.
I follow a gentle parenting TikToker. Multiple, actually.
I literally follow multiple. It's insane.
But it's kind of like healing, you know?
I know,
like to see this parent really going about this in this way that is just so intentional and, you know, just thoughtful is really like, it's healing.
Well, I remember the first time you and I talked about gentle parenting together, and a lot of what we were saying was like, you know, it's really nice to hear the fact that there are parents out there that are like doing this work.
Yeah.
And like, I think, again, there's a lot of young people struggling with the idea of whether they want to have children or not. And honestly, I feel like the people that are actively saying like, oh, I don't want to have kids because of this and this reason should be the people that are having children, because they're thinking so much of like, whether it's from personal experience or just like observing the world, they are intentionally being like, okay, I'm scared of these things, so I want to be doing these other things to like help my child grow. And like to see young parents being so like respectful to their children, it is a great healing process. It makes, it's like my little inner child is like, oh, this is so good. And like, that's why I'm so excited for these two random children in God knows where in the States.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so excited for them to grow up.
Yeah. Well, that is a perfect segue into our homework for this week, which is to hug your inner child, regardless of what kind of parenting style you grew up with. Just, you know, do something nice for your inner child this week. Watch your favorite movie, buy some candy for yourself. Whatever it is that your inner child is telling you that they need, do that for them.
Yeah. Well, we hate to say it.
You always get so dramatic at the end. Well.
I'm just so sad. This has been your free therapy session for this week. We're your hosts. I'm Holly.
And I'm Violet. And this is Therapy Hour. Because everybody needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it. Be sure to tune in a week when we'll be talking about something a little more fun and light. We're going to be talking about flirting.
Yeah, we are. It's going to get fun, fresh, and flirty on the podcast.
Yes, it is.
And we'll see you next Monday at 5 p.m.
Bye-bye. We'll miss-